For those that don't know me, I'm Stan. I'm part of the team here at WBC. I want to welcome you to Church Online. Thanks for joining us. Thank you so much. And hey, in the chat room, just type in where you're from. There's some from Werribee, from Windhamville, from Tarnit, from Point Cook, from Arizona, from Florida, from Timbuktu. Where are you from? Tell everybody else in the chat room and see the wide reach that God is allowing us to have during this time. How's your week been? I tell you what, around here, we're pretty exhausted. It has been just one of those weeks. We launched last week back in the building, getting ready to welcome you guys in whenever that's going to be possible. And then on Thursday, we went back into lockdown. And with this current lockdown, we can only have 5 people in the building running the service. That is such a challenge. But hey, we love you, and we are figuring out ways. We're going to keep figuring out ways to come and deliver hope into your homes. So hey, hang in there, stay connected, and remember, God's in control, and he loves us, he's taking care of us, and he is going to use even this pandemic in your life, in my life, and in this whole world to accomplish his good and faithful purposes. And we've been working through the book of 1 Corinthians this year, starting in February. We started working through the book of 1 Corinthians. And the book of 1 Corinthians is a letter written by a guy named Paul to a church in the city of Corinth. The city of Corinth was a really pagan city. It was a city where everything went. It was kind of like the place where what happens in Corinth stays in Corinth. And there was sexual immorality and just any kind of sin you can think of. And Paul is writing to combat the fact that that had crept into the church. Now, we called that first series, or the second series we did, Christians Behaving Badly. We did a few weeks on that. And then over the last 2 months, we've been answering questions that the church members in Corinth had written to Paul. They had written and asked a bunch of questions, and we have covered a lot of ground. That has been so much fun. We've looked at marriage and divorce. We've looked at sexual immorality. We looked at how to behave in light of our freedoms and our rights. We looked at how we deal with temptation. We even looked at racism. You didn't know that was a thing back in Corinth, and it still is today, and we talked about that. We talked about why we need to give financially, and you responded well to that. Thank you so much for that. We touched on spiritual gifts and everyone playing a part, and then we even tackled the issue of women's roles in the church. No wonder we are tired. Oh, we covered a lot of ground. Hey, if you missed any of that, YouTube it. Go back to our YouTube channel and binge watch it. You got nothing else to do during lockdown, right? So enjoy that, and thanks for that. Share it with a friend. Today, as we conclude our study of Paul's letter to the Corinthians, we're going to look at some of his last words. And when we're in a conversation, a lot of times the last thing someone says, that's what they really wanted you to hear. For Paul, I believe these last words that we're going to look at this morning kind of sum up everything else he's been saying. He's saying, in light of everything else I've said, this is how I want you to respond. This is how I want you to behave. This is what I want you to do. So today we're going to discover how we can live well in a culture of chaos. Now, certainly we are in a culture of chaos right now around the world because of the global pandemic, but Corinth was a city of chaos and the culture that invaded the church. And outside of this pandemic, on the other side, we will still be living in a culture of chaos. So today, I want you to listen in really close to learn how to live in the midst of a culture of chaos. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 says, "Be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong, and do everything with love." Now, Paul uses a series of 5 present imperatives here. In the Greek language, these are present imperatives. That means that they are commands, imperatives. He's saying, this is really, really important that you do this, and they are continuing. It's not a one-off thing. You need to keep doing these things. Now, the first 4 of these imperatives have a military tone, like a commander leading the army. And it might go something like this. As watchmen, be on alert. As soldiers, when you're under attack, stand firm. Hold your ground. Don't budge an inch. When you are tempted to be afraid, man up. Be courageous. And like the well-trained soldiers that you are, be strong to stand against the enemy's attack. And then the tone changes. You hear that tone, right, that the commander is giving? And then imagine that same commander. The tone shifts dramatically, and he says this. He says, take on the role of a loving friend. See that? Wow. Can you imagine the commander yelling at you to do all those things and then say, oh, and do it in love. I love Paul. I love the way he unpacks all that. And in summary, what he's really saying here is to live well in a culture of chaos, we need courage which will never retreat and the love which will never fail. That's what Paul is saying today. If you don't get anything else out of this message today, that's it. That's the summary of the message today. We need courage which will never retreat and love that will never fail. Let's unpack these words here. He says, be on guard. That's the Greek word, grigoreo, which means stay awake, to keep watch, to stay alert. In chapter 15, verse 58, where Paul's talked about the resurrection, he's saying, be diligent in carrying out the will of God. This verse is used over 22 times, about 22 times in the New Testament. And most of the time, it's talking about being spiritually awake and alert. Now, this word, be on guard, is not a passive word. It's not a casual thing. It's going to take diligent and determined effort, Paul is saying here. We are to be on guard. But what are we to be on guard for? I believe there's a lot of things that we can be on guard for. So I'm going to pick out just a few that Paul has addressed and other writers. He says, be alert or be on guard. Watch out for Satan. Two times in the book, he said, look out for Satan. Satan is the tempter and he's the enemy. He's coming after you. I'm going to borrow from some of Peter's words as well, because he uses the same word and says this, stay alert. Watch out for your great enemy, the devil. He prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Friends, we need to be keenly aware, on guard, alert, that we have an enemy. And friends, the enemy is not the person sitting beside you right now. The enemy is not your boss at work. Your enemy is not your school teachers. Your enemy is not the politicians right now who are communicating restrictions, trying to do the best they can to help us survive this pandemic. Your enemy is not flesh and blood. Ephesians tells us that our wrestle is against mighty powers of darkness. I think we forget that sometimes. But in this culture of chaos, you and I are vulnerable. I don't know about you. Actually, I do know about you because I know about me. Our reserves are low. We're all a little bit on edge at times right now. And we are open to attack right now, more so than ever before. From outside of us, we're open to attack, but also from inside of us, telling the lies to ourselves about who we are and about who God is and about what's going on. We are open to the attacks of the enemy. I think too often we ignore the fact that he is real and his desire is to take us down. We need to be on guard because we are in a spiritual battle. And one of the greatest tools, one of the favorite tools of Satan is temptation. That tells us we need to be on guard, be alert for temptation. Watch out for temptation. Paul talks about this in chapter 10 of the letter. We covered that. Temptation is common. It's something that we all experience in our lives. You know what happens, though, is we don't really use the word temptation as much, unless we're talking about chocolate, maybe. We frame this thing called temptation, we frame it as satisfying our desires, exercising our rights, standing up for what I want, getting what I want out of life, and doing what's owed to me. Friends, that's how we frame temptation now, because it sounds better. Those are my rights. It's just a desire I have. I can follow through with that. You know, he tells us in chapter 10 that God makes a way for us to escape temptation. Whenever temptation's there, there is a way out. But I think the problem is that we don't see the way out of temptation because we start by not even admitting that it is temptation. We normalize those actions and activities in our lives. And so we don't even look for a way to escape because we don't want to escape. Be on guard for temptation. Jesus warns about dealing with temptation in Mark chapter 14. He says, keep watch and pray so you will not give in to temptation. You know, prayer keeps us alert. It keeps us on guard. It keeps us aware because we are talking to God. And I don't know about you, but when I'm talking to God, I am keenly aware of everything else that's going on around me, the good stuff and the bad, mostly the bad. Those things come flooding in. It's like I'm talking to God. Oh, he sees all those things that are going on inside here. He says, be on guard. In the culture of chaos, watch out for temptation. Pray. Then another thing we need to be alert or on guard to is false teachers. Paul expounds on that. Watch out for the false teachers. Much of what Paul is writing to combat here to the Corinthians is about false teaching that had crept into the church. False teaching that was a common theme in his writings. In 2 Timothy 4, he says this, for a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. They will follow their own desires and will look for teachers who will tell them whatever their itching ears want to hear. Looking for answers that agree with me. You know, a lot of times we get applause or someone, even in preaching, when somebody says amen, I like to think it's because I'm preaching truth, but sometimes it's because people agree. They say, oh, yeah, I agree with that. And that's what amen actually means. But we need to be on guard against false teaching. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden, the first sin. Satan came to Eve and he tempted her by saying, did God really say that? Did he really say you should not eat of that tree? That's how Satan did it, false teaching. And you know, today in our context, we're probably not going to have Satan coming up to us and saying that verbally. We won't recognize him even if he is. But we have access to so much teaching. You know that right now, online. You can go and find any teaching you want that will end up landing wherever you want it to. We have to be on guard while you're looking for answers in this chaos. Watch out. Be careful who you're listening to. It drives me crazy seeing all the conspiracy theories and Christians buying into some of the silliness that's out there. Be on guard. Be careful what you listen to. Make sure that it checks with scriptures. Some of you are wondering if this is possibly the end. Remember when the pandemic first started, people were saying, oh, is this the end times? Well, we need to be on guard and look out for Christ's return. Matthew 24 says, so you too must keep watch, for you don't know what day your Lord is coming. Excuse me. We need to be alert. We don't know when Christ is coming back. Are these the end times? I don't think so, but it could be. We don't know when that is happening. Jesus said it there. Moving on quickly, be alert, be on guard. Watch out for apathy. Apathy. I think this may be the most dangerous of the things that we need to be on guard about, alert to. We need to be on guard against apathy. By definition, a person who is apathetic and indifferent is insensitive and they cannot be alert. So if we're going to be on guard, be alert, we cannot be apathetic. There was a church in a city called Sardis that John wrote in the book of Revelation in chapter 3. He says this, I know all the things you do and that you have a reputation for being alive but are dead. Wake up, strengthen what little remains, for even what is left is almost dead. John, writing to that church, is sounding that alarm. Be alert, wake up, because you're almost dead. You know, Christian complacency has weakened the church. In the name of tolerance, and sometimes even in the name of being loving, we have become apathetic towards sin. You know, a lot of times the most loving thing we can do is help people deal with their sin. It's not loving to ignore that in someone's life that's going to be damaging to them. But friends, even worse, our apathy has caused us to ignore the reality that there is a world full of people out there who don't yet know Jesus and are on their way to a Christless eternity in a place called hell. And yes, that's not popular to say, and I did say that because it's so important. Our apathy has led us to a place of trying to twist our theology around, and we say, oh, well, maybe there's not even a hell, and there's certainly not a God that would send people there. Friends, while we don't like the fact that there is a hell and that people will end up there, the most loving thing that you can do and that I can do is share our faith with people. Introduce them to Jesus so they can be rescued from that destiny. So to live well in this culture of chaos, we need to be on guard. Don't get apathetic. Get passionate about truth and about loving people enough not to let them spend eternity without Jesus. Be on guard. Then he says, stand firm in the faith. Stand firm means to hold your ground. Be steadfast. Be consistent. In chapter 1, verses 18 to 21, Paul's combating a humanistic philosophy that had crept in, and it all but obliterated their view of God's word. Paul's saying, stand firm in the faith. Ephesians chapter 4, again, Paul writing says this, we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. He says, stand firm in the faith. That word faith is what can be believed, a state of certainty. It's dependable. We can count on it. We need to be firmly grounded in the truth of the gospel, our faith in the gospel, that it is true. The gospel is simply this: I am a sinner. You are a sinner. Jesus died for those sins, and then he rose again to give us victory over death and over sin and over hell. He gave us that. And all we need to do is respond in belief and accept that gift that he gave us when he did that. That is the truth of the gospel. That is the faith that we need to stand firm in. Often many people's faith journey kind of ends there, though. It's like, okay, well, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, so I'm on my way. I'm following Jesus, sort of. That same faith that saved you and that saved me, we need to exercise that faith in actually following Jesus. That means obeying his words and understanding his words. The theologian Charles Hodge said this, we should not consider every point of doctrine an open question. There are things that are black and white that we need to stand on, and we need to stand firm on and not budge on. Paul goes on, he says, be courageous. Act in a courageous way. Your translation, if you have an old one, might say, quit ye like men. Be manly. What he's really saying here is that we are engaged in a desperate battle with the forces of evil, and you need to act like an adult. That's what he's saying when he says, like men, be manly. He's saying, be courageous. He's saying, be mature, grow up. Paul uses this to counter the immaturity of the believers in Corinth. Paul wants them to act like responsible adults. He had told them earlier on in chapter 3, he said, so far, I can't talk to you like you're spiritual people. I've got to feed you with milk rather than solid food because you're not ready for anything else yet. Here he's saying, be mature, be courageous, stand up. Maturity is one of the marks of love. You'll remember chapter 13, Pastor Justin preached that to us. And it says, when I was a child, I spoke and thought and reasoned as a child. But when I grew up, I put away childish things. If we are going to live well in a culture of chaos, we need to grow up. We need to act like adults. Our response to each other needs to be mature. You know, I don't know about you, but there's times during this lockdown, this pandemic, where I wouldn't have wanted you to see me. When I'm over it, when I'm sick of all the change and everything, and when I just start stamping my feet and saying, I want this to be over, like I'm a two-year-old, yeah, I don't want you to see those times. You don't want me to see those times in you either. So when we see things changing, when things are happening that we don't like, we need to be careful how we're responding. Do you know there's a world out there that is watching how the church, how believers, how you and I respond to these things? And if we respond just like them and we start blasting everyone on social media and everything, how helpful is that? Is it changing anything? I think not. Maybe you're venting and that feels good for a moment. But grow up. Be mature. Be a responsible adult. Then he says, be strong. Be strong. That word actually means become strong. Be becoming strong. You need to be growing in your strength. And he's been challenging the believers at Corinth all this time about their behavior. and he's challenged them about continually giving in to their sinful desires. And he's saying, grow, strengthen yourselves, get stronger. They had deceived themselves. Chapter 3, verse 18 says that they had deceived themselves into thinking they were wise and strong. And then in chapter 10, Paul tells them, hey, the person who thinks he's already strong within himself, he's the one that's deceived. She's the one that is deceived. He talked to them about growing and getting stronger. And if you remember chapter 7, he was talking about the discipline that we need of an athlete, and the determination, the commitment, the drive. Growing, being strong, spiritual strength comes from self-sacrifice, self-denial, and self-discipline. If we're going to live well in a culture of chaos, we need to be getting stronger. Think about that in all aspects of your life. Physically, the lockdown is going to produce a couple of things. It's going to produce people who actually have been sitting on the couch the whole time because they couldn't go to the gyms or do whatever they normally would do, and they're going to gain 10 kilos on their way out of the pandemic. Or maybe there's actually going to be people, because one of the only things you can do, four reasons you can go out, is exercise. There's people walking who have never walked before in their life. And they're like, oh, wow, these things actually work, and I can move because it's the only thing they can do. Some people are going to be in better shape. Spiritually, how are you maintaining your spiritual health during this culture, this crisis? Can I encourage you? Stay connected. Keep engaging. Church online, devotions through the week, and in your own spiritual disciplines. We produced a tool for you to be using called Seeking Jesus Together, a quiet time tool for WBC. I would encourage you to go to the website, look at that. Start doing that. Just building into your things, to your lives, things that are going to strengthen you spiritually. And then he finishes his last imperative. He says, do everything with love. That's the word agape, unconditional, demonstrable affection. John MacArthur said it so well, wrapping all this up. So I'm just going to give you a quote from him. Let me read it. It says, love complements and balances everything else. It is the beautiful softening principle. It keeps our firmness from becoming hardness and our strength from becoming domineering. It keeps our maturity gentle and considerate. It keeps our right doctrine from becoming obstinate dogmatism and our right living from becoming smug self-righteousness. I think he said that well, summed up Paul's feelings about that. When we have all these other things in place, we need love to wrap itself around all of them. So how can we live in a culture of chaos? Be on guard. Stay alert to Satan and temptation and to apathy. Stand firm in the faith. Know what you believe and stand there strongly. Go deeper. Make that belief stronger by knowing it better. Be courageous, be mature, let's act like adults, even when we'd rather not. Be strong and growing, and do all of that in love. One more thing. I talked earlier in the message about faith and following Jesus. And most of the message today was for people who are already following Jesus. How to live well in a culture of chaos. But, you know, in order to live well in a culture of chaos, the starting point is following Jesus. The starting point is recognizing your own sinfulness and saying, hey, I know I'm a sinner and there's nothing I can do to take care of that sin. But I believe Jesus died for my sins and I believe he rose again. And I want to exercise faith and trust in him. That's the first step to living well, is following Jesus. If you today are listening in and you've never done that, and you know within yourself there's something inside of you that says, that's me. I'm a sinner and I don't know Jesus. I don't have a relationship with him, but I want one. I want to invite you to say a short little prayer. A short little prayer that will change all that. Jesus, I give you my life. That's it. That's not all that you'll talk to God about one day, but that gets you on the start of the journey. Just simply, Jesus, I give you my life. If you prayed that prayer today, tell somebody in the chat room, let them know. They'll pray with you. They would love to engage with you about that decision. Jesus, I give you my life. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity today to engage with your word and to understand what Paul was saying when he told us to be on guard, to stand firm in the faith, to be courageous and strong in love. Lord, that's a tall order. And Lord, we are weak. We need your strength to do that. Lord, I pray that you would strengthen us. Help us be growing. Help us to be alert and on guard to all those things surrounding us. Help us to be courageous. And Lord, help us stand firm. Most of all, help us to love one another. In Jesus' name, amen.